Genesis chapter number 6. I appreciate the good singing tonight, congregational, the good special, and it's just real good to be. Now, y'all are a little dead to me compared to the last two nights where I've been. I mean, you can say Jesus, and they shout for 20 minutes there. I thought they was going to carry me out of that tabernacle last night, and we had a good time, and the Lord helped me. I'll be honest with you, I got home Sunday night, I told my wife, I said, that was the biggest waste of preaching Sunday I've ever seen in my life. I just couldn't get off the ground. Lord, I about flew out of that place Monday and Tuesday, and so I got encouraged and helped. And I think Sunday we was all just tired. I think that's what a lot of it was. And I'm still tired, but I'm going to preach anyway and get what God has for us tonight. I want to take the next several Wednesday nights, if the Lord will be our helper, and I want to preach through the life of Noah. This is a common Bible character. When I say character, I don't mean he's a fictional character. He's a real man, but he's a very familiar man, and his life covers Genesis chapter 6, chapter 7, chapter 8, and chapter number 9. So I want to take the next few Wednesday nights, if the Lord will help us, and I want to preach through the life of Noah and look at his life. So we'll begin the night in Genesis chapter number 6 and verse number 1. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men of renown, which were of old, And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only on evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. As I said, I want to take the next few Wednesday nights and preach through the life of Noah. And sitting in the hotel room yesterday studying, the Lord gave me a little outline for his life. I want to begin tonight and preach out of these verses on the condition of Noah's world. The condition of Noah's world. We're going to find that Noah's world was a lot like the world we're living in today. Matthew chapter 24, verse 37 says, But as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as were in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. You'll find that same scripture is repeated by our Lord in Luke chapter 17, verses 26 and verse 27. And for context sake, these two passages were given by our Lord during the Olivet Discourse. Now, the disciples had three questions that led into that. Matthew 24, they asked the questions, When shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus begins to give the Olivet Discourse of Matthew 24, where he begins to give them the signs of the second coming of the Lord. Now, let me say this tonight, that there is no signs for the rapture of the church. There are no signs for that because the Jews seek after a sign and the Greeks after wisdom. But Paul said, we preach Christ. In other words, Paul is saying we don't need signs because we have the scripture tonight. Amen. But here's what I am saying tonight. The reason that the Lord gave the disciples the signs of the second coming, which is after the tribulation period, is because the church and the rapture had not been revealed yet. You see, the church was a mystery that God revealed to the Apostle Paul. And upon the church being revealed to Paul, that mystery mystery of the rapture of the church. Paul will talk about in Ephesians 5, the mystery of the church. And in 1 Corinthians 15, he said, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed." When I say mystery tonight, I'm not talking about Scooby-Doo, Mystery Incorporated, trying to find out who did it. But rather in the Bible, a mystery was something that was there all the time, but it was covered up and hidden. Well, God revealed that. So in Matthew 24, the disciples don't get the church age, so they wouldn't understand the rapture necessarily. That's why he gave them the signs of the second coming for Israel. Y'all picking up what I'm laying down? I know that's a lot of stuff, but just hang with me and we'll get to the end of this thing. But here's my point tonight. When you read Matthew 24, you see a lot of signs that are going on in 2024. You see wars and rumors of war, pestilence, men are fighting against one another. There's a lot of division, and we're seeing that in the world we're living in today. Somebody said, "Preacher, does that mean the rapture is not true?" No, 1,000 times no. Here's what it is saying. If we're already seeing the signs for the second coming of the Lord, then how much closer are we to the rapture of the church? Amen. I truly believe that at any moment the trumpet will sound and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be called up together to meet them with the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I'm glad one day we're getting out of here, praise God. And looking at Noah's day, we are reminded about the day in which we live. And so tonight, very quickly, I want to preach on the condition of Noah's world. There are three or four things I'll give you tonight. First of all, in Noah's world, in Noah's day, we find, first of all, that marriage was defiled. Marriage was defiled. We understand now. I don't have you an outline tonight. We're going to probably stick to the outlines on Sunday. That helps me out a little bit, trying to put all that together. Miss Linda does a great job editing, but I still got to write it all and try to get it out. If she start writing my sermons, that'd be a whole lot easier, amen? And she just write all the sermons. I just get up and say, "Well, Miss Linda said we need to do that, amen." If you're taking notes tonight, there is the instituted design of marriage. You realize God designed marriage tonight. In fact, God performed the first wedding ceremony there ever was. Genesis chapter 2, God saw that that Adam did not have a helpmeet, and so he put Adam to sleep, and he took a rib out of his side. One preacher said that if he's going to have a biblical argument in your home, that the man could call his wife a bonehead, and the wife could call her husband a dirtbag. Because the woman was taken from the rib and man is made of the dust of the earth. You can have a biblical fight in your home. Wouldn't that be a blessing, all right? But we understand that. Here's what God said about their marriage in Genesis 2:24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother. Adam didn't have to do that. He didn't have a father or mother. Therefore shall man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Notice it's a man and a woman. I know what month it is. It's June, amen. But it's still a man and a woman. And so that is God's design for marriage. In fact, Matthew 19, he'll reiterate that. He'll say, "Wherefore, there are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." I was at a wedding one time. Horrible mistake in my life. I went to a wedding, and the preacher got all messed up and said, "What man is joined together, let not God put asunder." He got that mixed up a little bit, amen? That's why you just go see Barney and Annie at the courthouse and pay the $50 and be done with it, all right? But my point tonight is God designed marriage. The Bible said marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. I tell you, somebody said, "Well, preacher," and I'm not against anybody that's been through a divorce. Sometimes things happen, but anybody that's been through one, they don't want nobody else to go through one. I said, "Well, preacher, the divorce rates are down in 2024 now. You know why? Because everybody's shacking up, committing fornication. They're not getting married no more." Hey, fornication's still a sin, and adultery's still a sin tonight. There is the instituted design of marriage. But then in Noah's day, there was an illicit disregard of marriage. Remember what we read in Matthew 24:38? For as in the days were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. The context and the wording of that phrase, marrying and giving in marriage, means they looked at marriage lightly. They thought of marriage flippantly. They didn't think of it as much. They looked at it as a contract rather than a covenant. And they were not faithful to their vows. They were not faithful to their spouses. And they were married and given in marriage. The homes were being damaged in Noah's day. Does that sound familiar? The instituted design of marriage and the illicit disregard of marriage. But then here's the one everybody's waiting for. The influence demonically of marriage. See, Genesis chapter 6 opens up an interesting page in the Word of God. Now look at it with me. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. Now, I'm going to take about the next 5 minutes and deal with probably one of the most controversial subjects in the book of Genesis, other than Genesis 1:1. But there's a great, and let me say this right here. Let me start off at the outset. If you disagree with me tonight, what I'm about to preach, it's not a fellowship breaker. It's not a doctrinal thing. This is what I believe the Bible teaches, but I know good men. I talked to a man for 30 minutes yesterday who does not see this the way I do. He's still my brother. He's still welcome to preach in my pulpit, and I'd be welcome to preach in his pulpit. It's not a doctrinal thing. But there's something interesting here. Notice the contrasting statements in verse 2. The sons of God saw the daughters of men. There are some preachers and teachers, that, and I don't say that disparagingly, that teach that these sons of God is the godly line of Seth. I got a problem with that, though. Why is it called them the sons of God and then calls the females the daughters of men? That is a distinction in that text. Now, one of the things we got to figure out is who are the sons of God. Let's use our Bibles tonight. Turn to Job chapter number 1. You got to turn with me quickly tonight. Job chapter number 1. I didn't mark my scripture, so I'm turning with you, all right? Job chapter number 1. We're going to find out who the sons of God are. Not from my Bible. I didn't even pick up a Bible commentary when I studied this. I just looked up these words, all right? Look at Job chapter number 1 and verse number 6. Now, let's go ahead and make a deal. If you disagree with me, we're not going to split hairs over this, right? All right, look at Job chapter 1, verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. Turn one page over if you have a Rock of Ages Bible, chapter 2, verse 1. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. Now, instead of my opinion, how many of y'all got a Rock of Ages Bible you're toting tonight? Hold your hand up. Go back to Job 1. Look at the bottom at your notes where it says 1:6, where it says sons of God. I'm going to read you what it says. It is clear from the context that these were angels. Cross-reference Genesis 6:2, Job 2:1, and then we're going to look at Job 38, verse 7. Turn to Job 38:7. Job 38:7. I'm trying to make a point to you tonight. Y'all still with me? Job 38:7. And let me read the context, verse number 4, while you're turning, God's talking to Job. He said, where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath made the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Who hath stretched the line upon it, whereupon the foundations thereof were fastened? Or who laid the corner of the stone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Now, I got a question for you tonight, and I'm not being disrespectful. But if these people in the book of Job, the sons of God, are the sons of Seth, how in the world are they there before Adam was created? Because that Job 38 said, when he laid the foundation of the earth, that the sons of God, they shouted for joy. Adam was not created till the sixth day. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth, Genesis 1:1. Then I'll say this, if these are the sons of Seth in Job 1, how are they standing in the presence of God without a blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ? Remember those Old Testament saints when they died? They went to Abraham's bosom. They couldn't go to heaven because there wasn't any blood on the mercy seat. So my whole point tonight, I believe these sons of God in Genesis 6 are the fallen angels that left with Lucifer. Now stay with me, I'm going somewhere, okay? If you disagree with me, I'm serious. I'm not going to fight with you or argue with you. That's just what I believe the Bible's teaching. Here's what happened, and as weird and as wicked as it sounds, you can go back to Genesis, as weird and as wicked as it, well, actually, go ahead and turn to 2 Peter 2. I'm sorry, 2 Peter 2 when I'm making this statement. I usually don't have you turn, but I want you to see this and mark these scriptures. As weird as it sounds, these fallen angels, they came down, and they saw the daughters of men. They took upon themselves a human body. Somebody said, preacher, angels can't take on a human body. Really? Remember Genesis chapter 18? Abraham standing outside of his tent, and he sees three men coming to him. They were angels. What he did, he washed their feet, and they ate a meal together. They took on human bodies, and they had to reveal themselves to Abraham that they were angels, and I personally believe that one of them was the Lord Jesus. So these angels come down, and they have relations. I'll be kind. They have relations with the daughters of men, and they produce the giants on the earth. Now, God got so disgusted at their sin. Are you 2 Peter chapter 2? Look at 2 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down into hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. There's not a period at the end of that verse, semicolon, means the thought continues. And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Ain't it interesting that he talks about angels sinning, and in the next verse he talks about Noah's flood? Here's what I believe that verse is saying. Now turn to Psalm 82 while I'm making an explanation, and I'm going to have you quit turning. Here's what I believe God did. God got so angry at the sin of what these fallen angels did with the daughters of men that he destroyed their bodies in the flood. But their spirits were cast down in chains of darkness, and they're going to be cast into the bottomless pit in Revelation chapter 20. Look at Psalm 82, what God said. Psalm 82, verse 5. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness, all the foundation of the world are out of course. I have said, ye are gods, little g, and all of you are children of the Most High. That's a reference to the sons of God. Verse 7. But ye shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. So what those angels did, are y'all still women or not? What those fallen angels did, they had relations with those women. Their bodies died in the flood with everybody else. And God put those spirits in chains of darkness in 2 Peter 2, reserved to the day of judgment. What's the day of judgment? Revelation 20, when the devil be cast into the bottomless, cast to the lake of fire rather, for all eternity. God got so disgusted at their sin that he cast them down. That's some deep stuff right there. I'm going to be honest with you. So I said, preacher, I don't know if I believe that. I'm not fussing at you if you don't believe that. If you say, preacher, I got some questions about that. I got some questions too. But you also got to remember, this is before the flood. And some weird things happened before the flood. I mean, for instance, Adam lived to be 930 years old. Now, Brother Eric's close to that. But he's not going to make 930. There are also, hey, Dax, you're like this. There were dinosaurs. There were. Some of y'all don't believe that. Have you never watched Jurassic Park? You unbeliever? Do you know dinosaurs are in the Bible? Job chapter 40, verse 50. Behold, now behemoth, which I have made thee, he eateth grass as an ox. Hey, Dax, what's the dinosaur? Has the long necks, eats leaves out of a tree. That's exactly what my Bible dictionary defined behemoth as. You know why they didn't make it through the flood? They couldn't get their life jacket on. Just kidding, okay. They had short arms. They couldn't get their jacket on. It's like the cartoon, the two unicorns saying, what time Noah say we is leaving? And then in Psalm 104, it talks about Leviathan. And if you look up Leviathan, his name means... Plesiosaurus, is that how you say it? Yeah, he's that one who lives in the water, had seven heads. And God, you read Psalm 74, he said that he breaketh the heads of Leviathan in pieces and gave us him to be meat to the people inhabiting in the wilderness. You want to know what I believe that teaching about? When God, man, I'm supposed to be on Noah and I'm running around. Y'all enjoying this? I am. When children of Israel, Ron Garris preached this, when the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea, there was a Leviathan that lived in the Red Sea. And according to Psalm 74:30-14, God killed that dragon that night and gave him his meat in the wilderness. It's a picture of the rapture. When we get out of here, God's going to break the head of the dragon. Amen. Ain't that good? So I said, I just don't know if I believe that. How many of y'all believe that Balaam's donkey talked? You got trouble believing that God killed a dinosaur in the Red Sea? You see, we believe what we want to believe. And what we have, we've been conditioned by Hollywood to think that's make-believe. But it's the words of Charles Lawson. This stuff's real, folks. I mean, it's real out there. And so here's my whole point. Here's my whole point tonight, and I'm moving on. Whether you believe these are fallen angels having relations with the daughters of men, whether you think that's fallen angels or you think that's just the sons of Seth, here's the point we all can agree on tonight. They defiled marriage. They defiled the home and made it to be something that God never meant for it to be. You know what your preacher believes tonight? Your preacher believes that for a man to molest a child, he has to have a devil in him. That is not natural. It is not natural for a man to have desires towards a child. Now, I'm not a Greg Locke, everybody's got a devil. But I tell you, that crowd's got a devil in them to have that. It's not natural. And I'll say this, for a man to desire another man is demonic. For a woman to desire another woman, that is demonic. I'm not saying they're demon-possessed. They could be demon-oppressed, but it is certainly not led of God. We don't hate those people. They are welcome to come to our church to hear the gospel. They can't join, but hey, they're welcome to hear the gospel. They got to hear it somewhere, friend. We're not going to let them hug up on one another, but we're not going to let your daughter and her boyfriend hug up on another in church either. Somebody help me, amen. And so tonight, we find that marriage was defiled. Whew, can y'all stand anymore? That's the deepest part of the sermon. Let me say this tonight. If you disagree with what I just said, don't say, all right, we're going to leave and find somewhere else to go. You can have a different opinion, but if you're going to argue with me, bring your Bible. Because I've tried to bring mine tonight, okay? This ain't a doctrinal thing. This ain't a life and death thing. This ain't, if you're going to be a member of this church, you got to believe this. This is what I believe the Bible's saying. And I think I've made a good point tonight. If I've not, talk to Brother Charles. And so, in Noah's day, and I'm hurrying, in Noah's day, marriage was defiled. Number two, in Noah's day, mankind was defiant. Look at verse 4. There were giants in the earth in those days. Now, I asked the preacher today, if those... Man, I'm at 20 minutes. Let me finish. Okay, let me just talk to you, okay? Now, y'all want to get really wild here for a second? Those sons of God, we're going to go with my opinion for a minute, okay? What I believe was are fallen angels. Those sons of God with the daughters of men, when they had babies, they produced giants. Not the San Francisco Giants, not the New York Giants. Literally giants. Well, they died during the flood. But in 1 Samuel 17, there's another giant. Somebody said, preacher, well, there's nothing in the scripture indicate this can't happen. Now, we know those angels that committed that sin in Genesis 6 are cast down, but we don't know if there's any other ones that's done that. I don't know, but I'm telling you, it's a wicked world, but this is going to come back into play during the tribulation period. Because during that tribulation period, they're going to be in love with that Antichrist, who is demonic. People, there were women. How many of y'all remember Charles Manson? Wicked man. Wicked man. There were women that wrote to him wanting to marry him in prison. Wanting to have his child in prison. Made him a celebrity. Why? Wicked. Wicked. If ever was a man that was devil-possessed, Charles Manson was. Now watch what happened. Notice mankind's defiant in their pride. When the sons of God came to the daughters of men, they bare children to them. The same became mighty men, which were old men of renown. Now, here, pride is the root of rebellion. Watch this now. That mighty men and men of renown, that renown means reputation or fame or glory. Now, there's a lot of things about those giants here, but and I think I've delved maybe a little too deep tonight. Let me bring it back up to the surface. You know what was going on in Noah's day? People were lifted up in pride. That phrase, renown, means reputation, fame, or glory. They were saying, look at me. Does that sound like the day and age we're living in? Here's what Paul said. They're going to be lovers of their own selves. I don't love me. Hand me your phone and I'll find out if you love you or not. See how many selfies you have. Talk to me now. And I'm not being mean. Women are the nastiest about it because they take pictures in their bathroom. The nastiest place in your house and you're going to take a picture in there. Somebody help me, amen. I mean, you're not thinking. It deals with pride. We live in the proudest society. You know, God hates pride according to Proverbs 6. By the way, men are just as bad about it too. Preachers are bad about it. I mean, I've caught myself before as at the back, you know, looking for a compliment. Hope you enjoyed the sermon today. I'm fishing. I want you to say, oh, preacher, that was the greatest sermon I ever heard. I'll do that to my wife. What'd you think? I'm fishing for a compliment. You know why? Because I have pride. By the way, you got pride too. And God hates your pride, and God hates my pride. You know what pride does? Pride lifts yourself up above God. And then notice none of their pride. Notice their practice, verse 5. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only on evil continually. God looked at mankind, and every thought they had was on evil. I'm talking about the world that Noah lived in, the condition of the world that Noah lived in. You know, we're always talking about building an ark. Well, if anybody needed to build an ark, it was Noah, because he lived in a wicked world. And I want to remind you, that's the same world we're living in today. Is there fallen angels having children with women? That's for somebody else. I ain't going to argue with you about that. We can't agree the homes are messed up. We can't agree that pride and wickedness is abounding. Can y'all agree with me on that tonight? Pride and wickedness and sin is abounding on every hand. Not only that marriage was defiled, mankind was defiant, but notice the maker was disgusted. Look at verse number 3. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. For that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. God said, I'm telling you, right now we're starting to count now. For 120 years, in 120 years from now, I'm going to send a flood. And I'm going to wipe them out. I'm not going to strive with this any longer. Notice his recognition, verse 5. The Bible said, as God saw all that evil was going on. I said this, and I'm hurrying. Man couldn't hide his sin in the garden from God. Man couldn't hide his sin in Genesis 6 from God. And by the way, you still can't hide your sin from God. The repentance, verse 6, and repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. And don't let that word repentance scare you. God did not sin. Can I get an amen out of that? It means God changed his mind. That's what repentance is, a change of mind that leads to a change of action. That's what God, exactly what God did. He changed his mind because the Bible said it grieved him at his heart. That word grieve means to hurt, to pain, to displeasure, to vex. Well, if we ever realize how much our sin hurts the heart of God, my sin and your sin tonight. Notice his response. He's disgusted in verse 3. He makes a declaration in verse 7. I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. There is even indication in the text, and I'll be kind, that man was having a relationship with animals. Why else would he destroy the beast? And you hear of that even going on today. Now, I understand older folks that may have lost a spouse or whatever, that their pets become close to them. I get that. I understand that. But I tell you, there's a problem when a husband or a wife loves their animal more than they love their spouse. You'll let that nasty dog lick you in the face, but you won't kiss your husband or kiss your wife. Amen. I'm just telling you, and that's the day and age we're living in. They think more of the animals, think more of the flesh, think more of themselves. I mean, you can talk about somebody's child and get by quicker than talking something about their ugly animal or their nasty looking dog. Amen. I mean, I can talk bad about Eric all day long, but if I say something bad about Ellie, he comes to her defense. That's not even his dog. I'm trying to make it his dog. He tripped over the full thing, hurt his knee, and still wouldn't blame the dog. I should have been looking where I was going. It's like, that's called denial. Amen. My point tonight, and I'm just picking on him, my point tonight, I never pick on him, but I thought I'd pick on him tonight. My point tonight is that our homes and the world is just messed up. Whether you agree with me about the sons of God thing, that's neither here nor there. But you can agree with me tonight, we are living in a wicked, wicked world. And it's not getting any better. And I want to let you know tonight, it ain't going to get any better. I'm voting for Trump come November. I mean, I am. Somebody said you shouldn't say that. Well, I just did. Amen. Too late. I ain't voting for Sleepy Joe. Somebody help me right there. You know what he said today? He don't either. but he ain't. Trump ain't gonna fix everything. So I said, why are you voting for Trump? I like paying that $2.75 for gas like I paid this morning at Bucky's in Sevierville, Tennessee. Amen. Brother Langston kept telling everybody I pastored in South Carolina. I said, I wish I did. Taxes are cheaper and gas is cheaper in South Carolina. But I'm trying to get y'all to Florida, but, you know, we'll take South Carolina. That's a little bit closer. My point tonight, it ain't going to get any better. It don't matter what the next election, it's not going to get any better. But marriage is, in Noah's day, marriage was defiled. Mankind was defiant. The maker was disgusted. But in verse 8, there was a man that was different. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Here's my point tonight. We're going to pick up there next week. Despite all that wickedness, there was a man who still loved God. And we're still living for God. And if we're not careful, sometimes we'll see all the wickedness around us. We'll see all the demonic activity around us. We'll see all the wretchedness, all the sin around us. And we'll forget that we can still walk with God. We can still live for God. If Noah could in his day, without a Bible, Noah didn't have a Bible. Without a church, Noah didn't have a church. Without Christian friends, all Noah had was his family. We're already ahead of Noah. If Noah could live for God and have all that, you and I don't have an excuse not to live for God. That's the condition of Noah's world. May God help us in this wicked world we're living in to live for God. Amen. That's 30 minutes. I appreciate your attention tonight.